Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Before I read, before I pray, I'm going to read the title because I'm going to need prayer after the title. Senseless Christians. You may think, I know some. Gosh, well, you have a message about senseless Christians? All right, let's pray about this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that you've died for us and that through your grace that we are saved, through your grace we're empowered, and it's nothing of ourselves, that you have done it for us once we trust you. So we praise you for that, God. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and just your Spirit would go forth and people's heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you for your love, and we thank you for what you're going to reveal to us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So we have Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to be looking at the first five verses of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul is saying, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed, is crucified. So here, Paul is frustrated. He's a little frustrated. I love the Amplified Bible. Every once in a while I like to look at the verses in the Amplified Bible because it's the Word of God, but it's amplified. Okay, so it's, and this is what the Amplified, and I think I have a slide for this, so put the Amplified verse up there. I really like this one. It says this, Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians, who has cast a spell over you? I mean, Paul is just like, I mean, he's just flabbergasted with these folks. I mean, this is his church. He planted it. There's no other. And so he's given them his best shot. And so they've gone on, and he's like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe what you're doing. And so this is chapter 3. And if we remember, this goes back even two or three messages ago in Galatians 1. Where Paul said in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 6, he said this, I'm astonished. I'm absolutely astonished. You're so quickly discerning who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. So he is just, in Paul's mind, he's looking at the Galatians and he's saying to the congregation, your actions are incomprehensible. It's just incomprehensible. It's like, you know, it's just, I gave you the truth, and this is, I thought we were doing good. And says, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. And so he's astonished, for one thing. He's just astonished. But then, you know, kind of say, you're just senseless. Senseless. You're not getting this at all. So he is frustrated to no end, you know. I don't know, frustrated, but again, he's astonished. He can't believe what they've done with the message he's given them. So what we want to do, just join him in his frustrations, okay, and see what we can learn, what's bothering him so bad. What did they do that he would give a message like this, that he would address them like this? I mean, somebody messes up, you put your arm around them, say, hey, we need to talk about this, and I think we're not together. He's just going, this is crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, he is so frustrated with this thing. So let's walk through and see in this section what's bothering him so much. What did they do that concerned him so much that caused this reaction? So let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 for senseless Christians. Okay, senseless Christians, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. So he says this. Now, I want you to feel the Apostle Paul's frustration, okay, because he is frustrated here. As he's speaking it, I don't know if frustrated is the right word. You know, he's just can't believe what's being said. So he asks him a question. He says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, that is huge. Now, so we got a couple of things going on here. Now, remember, this is chapter 3. This isn't chapter 1. I mean, he's astonished in chapter 1. And he's worked up to being, you know, that you're senseless in chapter 3. You know, so that's kind of the progression there. And so we need to understand that he was astonished at their belief system, and then now he's just more overwhelmed, what he calls senseless. But what the verse says, look at what the verse says here, is that I'm asking you, did you receive the Spirit? Now here's a question, kind of rhetorical. When you accept Christ, what happens? Just look at the verse. You receive the Spirit. Now, a lot of believers, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved, we're forgiven. Amen? That is true. And that was covered in chapter 1. That was covered in chapter 1. So I'm not just pulling this out and making it, you know, the first thing. No, we covered the first thing 2 weeks ago. Now he said, but no, did you receive the Spirit? Meaning you do receive the Spirit. When you believe, he goes, when you believe, you receive the Spirit. Well, what is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit is God. It is Christ in you. It is God in you. It is the Holy Spirit in you. It's the same thing. When we are believers, we don't just change our thinking. We receive God in us, the Holy Spirit, represented by the Holy Spirit in us. And he comes within us and transforms us from within. Okay, that's part of the gospel. It's not a belief system. It's a transformation based on the belief system. So he's saying here, did you? Because they say, yeah, we have the Spirit. He goes, did you receive the Spirit? How did you receive the Spirit? By working and doing good and trying to do the law thing, you know, all that? Or did you do it by hearing with faith? The question was, answers hearing with faith. But also it's talking about you receive the Spirit. It was, as a believer, it was a given that when you accepted Christ, you received the Spirit. It's a given. It's Christianity, all right? We are forgiven, but we receive the Spirit. It's understood. It's a basic understanding. And so he's asking, that's the reason he asked them this question. He asked this question. Let me ask you. Only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or hearing by faith? Now, I want to make a point here because when you look at chapter 3, and we've already done chapter 1, so you think, well, you're doing chapter 3, you're forgetting about number 1. No, I'm basing, because we ever talked about number 1, I'm not going to talk about it again, we're talking about chapter 3. Okay, so it's based on the 1 here. So it's all connected here. So here's the key. Here's the key, and it's important to know as we move forward. Foremost, Paul was concerned, foremost, from the very beginning, he was concerned that they had exchanged grace for the law, right? Which we cover that in chapter 1. That's the first problem. That's what he is astonished about. You're saved by the favor of God. You are saved by the power of God. And it's not by what you do. It's by God's favor. And he says, how can you change that for the law? So that's the first thing. I'm astonished that you do that. However, now in chapter 3, equally incomprehensible to Paul is that they were distorting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, it's base. I mean, he's talking fundamentals. I started this church. There's just a few. I mean, this is the spread of Christianity is just starting out, you know. And he said, you got this. You're messing up grace. Not only are you messing up grace, you're messing up the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Both of those are central and crucial to our belief. To our belief. And so he says, and so he calls them senseless. I mean, you heard what I said. And so he's really perplexed by this. So chapter 1, they confuse grace and the law. Chapter 3, they're denying the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's look and go on and look at what it says in verse 3, Galatians 3:3. You senseless Christians. That's who he's talking to. I think I'd develop a complex if, you know, he wrote this to me and I thought, gosh. But it's to the church, but he's got a specific people in mind. So Galatians 3:3, and he's trying to get them back on base. And he says in Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? Are you so senseless? Having begun by the Spirit, are now you now being perfected in the flesh? Now think about this. So they know, the Galatians, He knows that they began in the Spirit. That's how they received Christ. Hallelujah. I received the Christ. Praise Jesus. Everybody's dancing happy, you know. And he's going, that's how you began. What are you doing now trying to perfect your walk in the flesh by your works and your actions and trying to keep the law and keep the rules and do everything just right? What are you doing? You began right, but now you're trying to do it on the law and the flesh. And he says, you're so foolish. You missed the whole point. Now, tied in here, again, we go back. We're saved by faith through grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not efforts. But here's part two. Living out the Christian life is by faith, by the Holy Spirit, not by our works keeping the law. It's fundamental. It's fundamental. And so he's saying it. He cannot believe that they want to go back into that system. He goes, no. What? You began this way. Now you're trying to do something else. So he sees, he's telling them that from the very beginning, he's reminding them that from the very beginning, they were changed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When they believed, something happened. They were changed. And so he is saying, that's how you be. He's just bringing to their remembrance what happened to them. Amen? You with me? Now, I want to go through some verses in Acts, because we're looking at the church, how it started and how it moved forward. And so it all applies to us. So we have within a 10-year period, maybe 20-year period, from when the church started, when Christ was risen and the apostles first start going out and Paul is preaching. So within the 10 or 20-year period, all this stuff is happening. He's telling the Galatians, this is how you began. The Spirit moved there. And they go, oh my gosh, you know, so they're excited. Well, let us read. Here's the atmosphere in which the church started. This is how it began. And he's saying to them, that's how you began. Why are you doing something else? Go back to how you began. All right? So here's some verses. Let's go to the very first beginning when we have a picture of the Holy Spirit coming. Okay? And of course, you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this. They're believers. All right? Christ is resurrected. This is the first mention, if you will, in the New Testament. And it said the disciples, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He goes, you began in the Spirit. You began moving, empowered by the... What are you doing? Why are you doing something else now, following the law? Okay, look at this. Acts 10, 44 through 47. I kind of condensed this. And so Peter goes and talks to some Gentiles. And he didn't want to talk to them. God says, you need to talk to them. I visited Cornelius. I told him, you go see him. He goes, okay, I'll go. So he goes. So he starts preaching to Cornelius. And so Cornelius, and it says this, verse 44. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Then in 46 it says, they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, these people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Oh my gosh. The beginning. It's starting out. Jews started out this way. The Gentiles. It's starting out the same way. They're experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on. And now this, in Acts 19:6, he is actually in the area of Galatia. In this area. It's not particularly, but it's in the same area. And it's almost the same time frame. So he meets a bunch of people and he's talking to them. And he says, and he asked him a question. And I wonder why he asked the question. He says, you know anything about the Holy Spirit? And he says, no, we don't. You know, I think he guessed they didn't, you know, in the conversation. But this is what happened. Acts 19:6. Paul had laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. You see what's happening? In the very beginning, you receive Christ. We are forgiven. We receive Christ. And we receive the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the believer. Change happens. Holy Spirit power happens when we believe. And Paul is astounded. He thinks it's incomprehensible that it's still not going on. And they have substituted works of the law, being good, and all sorts of rules in the place of the operation of the Holy Spirit. He says, you're senseless. You're senseless. You know, I think sometimes we say, oh, we're full of the Holy Spirit and dancing and hallelujah, you know, something like that. And somebody said, well, you're senseless. God goes, no, you ain't senseless. The other folks senseless. You're doing good. And what I'm saying there, and I'm not saying putting on stuff, but what I'm saying is there is a presence of the Holy Spirit that flows out that is visible and evident. And it's not based on the law. It's not based on the law. It's based on the power of God. Now, that's what he's telling them. He is astonished at them. He cannot believe his eyes that they have traded that in for rules. Can't believe it. He can't believe it. Now, the senseless Christians. He continues on with another question. And in Galatians 3:4, he says this. Did you suffer or experience? I think be a more up-to-date English word here. It could be just suffer too. Did you suffer? Did you experience so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? I mean, you went through the ridicule. You went through maybe loss of friends, maybe going through difficult times, all this, because you embraced Christ, the salvation, and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and you made that step and experienced that, and he goes, are you throwing it all away? Are you throwing away what you experienced? Are you throwing away that relationship? Are you throwing it away to keep the rules? A bunch of rules that somebody puts on you. And he said, I can't believe you would do that. Now, they're doing this to themselves. So, I mean, they had a church meeting together and says, okay, everybody here, you're doing good. Okay, now, to come to our church, you need to keep these rules. That's what they did. That's what happened, you know. And then somebody raised it. I think those are good rules. How about you add these four? Okay. And then after a while, it's just, you know, and after a while, there's no Holy Spirit working. He's just trying to figure out what rule to keep. See? The law quenches the Spirit. Well, that's a killer. So here, but here's a picture. And he is saying what they're experiencing is the power of God. How are you trading that? How are you trading that? Now, in fact, this verse could be interpreted this way in a paraphrase. It says, have you had such wonderful spiritual experiences and all for no purpose? Now see, he's not telling them, oh, you ought to look forward to something. He said, no, you've already experienced this excitement. Why aren't you content? What'd you do? Why'd you stop? That's what he's saying here. Now, so he's building up, okay? He's going, continuing to talk to the folks here at his church he started. Now I want you to look now how he kind of puts a period on this, and we see the magnitude of why he's saying this. Here's the magnitude. Look at Galatians 3:5. Senseless Christians, he's saying, does he who supply the Spirit, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? He says, now there's a couple of kind of a dual thing here. He goes, does the one who gives the Spirit to you, supplies the Spirit and works miracles, does he do this by law or he does this by believing? But I want to back up and say, you know what Paul is assuming is normal? That God is supplying the Spirit and working miracles. That's normal. You see? We say, oh man, that'd be neat. But see, no, it's supposed to be normal. The movement of the Spirit is supposed to be normal. Hearing from God is supposed to be normal. The works of the power, the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be normal. And he says, if you're not doing the more normal, you're senseless. Oh, we're sitting there, hands clasped, we don't say a word, we just listen to learn something and leave. He goes, you're senseless. Now see, we reverse that. He goes, oh no, they're smart. No, they're senseless. Because what they're doing, they're missing the empowering teaching of the presence of Christ. We don't have better rules. We have a relationship. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, working powerfully through us. That's what makes us different. Don't compare rules with people. The relationship, the power of God within us, the God of the universe, indwells us. Now, here's key. That there's no doubt, and we have to back up, that there's no doubt that the main question is, you receive the Spirit and miracles by faith and not by works, okay? You don't work your way to get the Spirit. It's by faith. You believe. However, it is also saying that believers should be experiencing the power of the Spirit and miracles. Now, just as at the beginning. Do you see what Paul's doing? He's put, and remember, we read the verses that was happening when he was preaching. He goes, this is the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, so when you look at what Paul is trying to remind people to be in freedom and to be who they are supposed to be with the power of God working through each individual. See, the manifestation and operation of the Spirit is something still going on. We are to recognize ourselves as still experiencing this gracious operation of God. Paul everywhere alludes to this, and it is observable through the whole scripture. And I'm just going to read, and I'm going to put the verses up. But here, let's just use this as the foundation, what he's talking to this church. Now, he wrote to the church at Corinthians for a different reason. Okay, for a different reason. But still, we'll apply this. And he's speaking the same thing to these people. He says, what have you done? You're missing the point here. You're trading in the power and the freedom of God for a set of rules and intellectualism. You can't do that. And so in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:6, it says this. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. See, stuff's happening. Same God's empowering. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says this. And God appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. That's what's happening, he says. See, and he's telling the Galatian church, so you traded it all in for a bunch of rules. He goes, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? The gospel is naturally evidenced by the power of the Holy Spirit and miracles. That's supposed to be a natural. That's what we are supposed to walk in, think about, and believe as we step into any situation, hearing from God and doing what God says. Moreover, Paul now designates God is expressly the bestower of the Spirit. He bestows the Spirit on us when we believe. God declares this among the Galatians because he has declared it in his word, and he must ever agree with himself. Therefore, he acts according to his testimony. The scripture proof which follows supports the data. He gives us. He is being consistent with the word he tells us. Now I'm going to read this again out of 1 Corinthians. And I'm doing it just to focus that the Spirit is working within believers. He's transforming us, speaking to us, but he's giving us gifts. And it's the way it's supposed to do. And this is why he's talking to the Galatians church. He goes, how can you trade this in? 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. To each is given. To who? Everybody, to each, everybody gets something. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And he's going to the Galatians, what are you doing? What are you doing? As you accept the Lord Jesus, how did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ? God, I can't save myself. Forgive me. I receive you. Then he says, as you have received him, walk in him. God, I can't walk this life. God, I give myself to you. Enter in, speak to me, and guide me in everything I do. Empower me in this life, because I can't live it myself. Just as you received him, walk in him. That's what it's about. And then we grow in it, we develop, and he gives us gifts to carry out what he wants us to do. That's what he's saying. Now here's a question. I'm going to turn these into questions. Four questions for senseless Christians. By the way, I'm not talking to y'all. Y'all are good. I mean, Paul's talking to these guys. These guys got problems. Okay, you guys are good. Okay. But so he's talking to them. There's four questions for senseless Christians. Senseless Christians, question number one. Did you receive the Spirit by hearing by faith? That's the question he's at. Did you receive the Spirit by the hearing by faith? That's the first question. Senseless Christians, question two. He says this, are you so senseless that you now work by self-effort without the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you? I mean, he's asking, what are you doing? Okay, senseless Christian question three. Have you experienced the power of the Spirit for nothing? Think back on your salvation. Think back how you came to know her. Think back on the excitement. Think back at how you've seen God work. You experienced all that for nothing? You just threw it out? Was it for nothing? Then senseless Christian question number four. Have you stopped walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you see how he removed the law and the thing, but removed in the power of the Holy Spirit to be empowered by God to do what God says? That God will be pleased with that too. Do you see what he is communicating to them? He is freeing them up to the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God's law is good. It reflects God. It's who God is. So if we do what God tells us to and we move along with him as he is directing us without an outside list of stuff to do, we will probably behave in such a way that will be very pleasing to God. We'll be motivated from within and not from without. Now, we renew our mind and we learn, it tells us to, but our power comes from within. Somebody's really messing up, they probably don't need another rule. That probably is not their issue, you know, because they just broke this one, so they don't care about it. Why give them another one? You know, they're not going to care about that one either. But the transformation from within, and then they move towards God, and then things start falling aside because they love the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by him. Amen? So, aren't we glad we're not senseless? Now, what I wanted to do, we are not senseless. And I just wanted to take time here that, by the way, when I read through those verse in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, all those gifts have been experienced in this body. Every one of them. Every one of them. So that's not something that's something we believe in, and that's something we know exists, and so we don't have a problem with it as an issue. But if there's an issue, what the Bible is saying, okay, don't throw anything at me, but what the Bible is saying, if you deny that, Paul is pretty much saying that's senseless. He is saying that's senseless. You're denying the power of God and the Holy Spirit working in through. That's senseless. That's his interpretation. Now, what I want to do, I just put this up because I've had certain people ask us, is it, you know, we talk about hearing from the Lord and we want to do what God says. We study the Word and the Word, you know, trans, I mean, the Holy Spirit wrote the Word, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us. So when we read the Word, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Word, interprets what He wrote. So, you know, read it, and He interprets it, you know, just as you need to see it. So it's a powerful, you know, spiritual experiencing reading the Bible. It's not just a book. It's a communion with God through the Holy Spirit. And then He speaks to us, and then He gives us certain gifts, and He empowers us in this life to have insight and to carry out what He wants us to do in this life. Praise Jesus. Amen. Now, we have our, you know, we have our prophetic team that comes up here and prays. And I've had several people say, exactly what are they doing? And I guess I think I've said something, but I just want to tell you this is what they're doing. We're a prophetic team. So there, as we read before, there is a prophetic gift. Okay, a prophetic gift. And it says, well, what does that mean? What's a prophetic gift? Well, here's the definition. I put it up there. And by the way, as you look there, see Wayne Grudem, Systematic Theology? I just wanted to throw that in. It's his quote. All right. So he has a PhD in everything. I mean, the guy's brilliant, all right? But this is his quote. I just think it's really good. So, but here it talks about a prophetic gift, not an Old Testament prophet, thus saith the Lord, and bringing down hellfire and damnation. It's someone in the New Testament church has a prophetic gift. And I think we all have elements of prophecy, but some more people have a greater prophetic gift than others. So here's a prophetic gift. Prophecy occurs when a revelation, a revealing, prophecy occurs when a revelation from God is reported in the prophet's own merely human words. Okay? That means that if the Lord brought something to mind that was from Him, that was prophetic, that I would speak it in my words. See, He'd tell me, and when I would speak it, I wouldn't sound like I was from England. I'd sound like I was from West Texas. See, He can't do nothing with it. I'm from West Texas, and He can't nothing do with it. He's just got to use His voice. That's all we got to work with. So that's all it's saying. I will speak to you, and He'll come out. It'll come out in your own voice. It'll come out in your own voice. I have to tell you something. This was funny. I don't know why this came. Maybe I just want something light. I did a message one time, and this guy, and he's a real close friend now. And he's the first time he came to church, and I'm giving the message. And he sat there. He said, I can't believe it. He says, they got one of these southern, you know, money-grabbing evangelists. He says, as soon as I heard you talk, I knew that's what you were. I thought, gosh, I didn't know I came across that way. Anyway, he ended up coming to know the Lord, and we're real good friends. So you just got to use what you got. You know, he's going to use the twang to bring his prophecy or whatever else where you're from. So you see, so if there's revelation from God, He brings to mind, and then the prophet, the one with the prophetic gift, speaks it in merely human words. Then it says, should be a period there, prophecy is telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind, which foretells something of the future or changes the present. See, our ladies that come up there, and we've talked about this before, they're not, I mean, they'll pray for you. I mean, they'll pray anything, but it's not a prayer ministry. It's a prophetic ministry. It's a prophetic. They're just a slight different. You know, anybody come up, whatever's going, we'll pray for it. But it's prophetic. What they're doing is listening to what God says and what spontaneously is brought to mind that will tell something of the future or something that'll change the present. It's a word from God. Different than a prayer, as we do for all believers. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If not, you can read the definition. But so when we ask our prophetic team to come up, the reason I'm saying it, we're kind of stating we're not senseless. We're not senseless. No, we're taking everything. We believe in all the power of God, you know. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust and we know that God speaks to His people. And that's just a witness of one spiritual gift. Because there are all sorts of spiritual gifts. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. So, and by the way, so that's what the ladies are doing up there. Now, as always, when I come to the end of a message, I'll close with the gospel verse. You know, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. We are forgiven. So I close with that. And that should, because that's a foundation of what we believe. However, the gospel clearly proclaims that the receiving of the Holy Spirit is intricately embedded into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, you believe on Him. Christ comes to live within you. It's don't separate those two. Those are together, all right? So they're together. Therefore, I want you to look. I'm going to use a verse that tells the gospel, that different one than I've used before. But I want you to look at this and pay attention to this. Take special note how this gospel verse is written. Look at Galatians 3:13 through 14. Okay? Christ redeemed us, bought us back from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He died in our place. Amen? That's the gospel. Then it says this. See what's in bold letters? So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. He became a curse so that we would receive the Spirit. We're forgiven, but the Spirit changes us. The so that. He died so that we'd receive the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's talking to these Galatians. He's going, you forgot the so that. I mean, the so that. That so that is everything. You've traded in the Holy Spirit for a bunch of laws and rules and regulations and restrictions. No. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the experience with the person of Christ. He died so that we can receive Him, so that when we receive Him, He works through us and we'll behave like Him. Amen? Y'all got that? Amen? And if we behave like Him, we probably would keep the law too. You know? But it's because we want to. We got some want to now because He lives within us. It's like, you know, I don't want to steal anymore. I don't want to do that. I don't need a law that tells me don't do that. I just don't want to do that. That's the difference. And that's just what Paul's going. And what he's doing, he goes, this is incomprehensible. You lost your ever-loving mind. What are you doing? You're trading all this power of God in for a bunch of systematic religion and rules. Now it's powerful based on relationship. Amen? Amen. So we wrap it up here and think about it in the simplicity of it. Here's the simplicity of it. How do we know we've accepted Christ? Okay? How do we know? Someone presents the gospel, believe that Jesus died in our place and our sins are forgiven, and we say, God, I believe. Here's my life, Lord. I believe. You paid the penalty for my sins. That's what the Bible says. You believe that, and you go from death to life. Boom, you're a Christian. Snapola, right there. But here's the other part. The Holy Spirit comes the same way. Dear God, now it happens at once, but to explain it, you kind of got to separate it, you know. But it's, dear God, I believe on you. You paid the penalty for my sin. I receive you. Come, Holy Spirit, live within me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Same thing. You do it by faith. You ask. I ask for forgiveness. I ask the Holy Spirit, fill me. Now, we know a little thing about the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand this, but it's real clear in the Scripture. Like Ephesians says, be continually filled with the Spirit. You know, somebody told me like this. It's like putting, you know, air in a balloon, and you just hold it for a long time. It just shrinks. I mean, what? I mean, and you got to put more air. That's kind of what this is. Holy Spirit fills us, and we just go along, and we just kind of get back and humdrum of things, and we think we're going to die. You know, I mean, nothing. And God said, no, God, fill me. Fill me. And you ask, and then He fills, and then we start moving in that. Then it becomes a way of life, and it's a reality of God in us. And He brings spiritual gifts to deal with all the stuff that comes in us. So the church is powerful and alive and gifted. And we're excited. And we're happy. Amen? Hallelujah. And so if we're powerful and excited and happy, it means we got some sense. All right. Won't we stand? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to have our prophetic team come down. So I put them on the spot, probably embarrassed them to death. So Tracy come up and Cynthia come up. Christine's on the board and she'll come up later. And Sydney's playing hockey. Anyway. But just come on down. Come now. Now. See how sweet they are. That didn't sound very sweet and compassionate. I may hear about that and I get that down. And then again, Christine's another right there. And then also, you can come down, Christine, if you want to. We There's no music, so you can come down. Okay, all right. And then, and like a Sydney Packard, she come down also. And then other people have prophetic gifts, and you'll see it, and all they have elements of the prophetic on all sorts of things. But you come down, and you can experience the prophetic with the two. But you, all of us should be experiencing elements of the spiritual gifts all the time. It's normal. It is not unusual. It is normal. And now it is, and it says, the Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He said, oh, you got this out there. You got all this. Eagerly desire it. And so we eagerly desire it. And God says, I'll start speaking to you and I'll show what your gifting is and you'll start growing in those gifts. And that's the way the church works. That's the way the church works. And there's a multitude of gifts, okay? Multitudes of gifts. But it's empowered by Christ. Empowered by Christ. Amen. So won't we just stand, and I'm going to close this in a prayer. And I just want us, now again, reason for this, see, we are not the Galatians here, okay? These folks. But we want to be understanding that, no, we're here before God, and God has called us, and we receive what God has to say. And number one, we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. All right? But I want us to do something else. Say, dear God, Holy Spirit, here's my life. Come, fill me. I mean, just right now, just shut your eyes and just think. Just, Holy Spirit, God, here is my life. Come, fill me. Ask. That's all it asks. You're at home. You're any place. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're going into a tough situation. You're going into a tough job situation. You walk in, before you go in the door, you go, oh, Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me wisdom. Fill me, God. Give me wisdom to handle this. He says he will. He says he will because you're his child. He'll fill you. He'll give you wisdom. Any situation, you got to pray for somebody you don't know what to do. Oh, my gosh. And they're going through something you can't imagine. You go, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Now I know what to say. I can pray the way I'm supposed to. You see what I'm saying? And then he'll reveal different gifts to you about that. And you'll read about the gifts and something will just stir in your heart. And say, Lord, I just pray for this gift because it says earnestly desire the gifts. Ask for it. Ask for it. That's the interaction. That's the relational aspect. Now, this is normal church. Just normal church. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here before you as your children. We come before you. And Lord, first of all, we say, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you or if anybody has a question, all we know we have to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you paid the penalty for my sins. I believe on you, I'm forgiven. And that's it. That's a prayer. God, I believe, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. And I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And the second part of the same prayer is, dear God, here's my life. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit, God. Transform me from within. Give me wisdom. Give me the gifts necessary to carry out this life. Lord, I ask you that I can walk in a supernatural way, hearing you. Speak to me, God. Be my teacher in all things. God. And God is desiring to do this. We don't have to beg him. He wants to. He just wants us to ask. He just wants us to ask. So I thank you, God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your power. And Lord, I thank you for each person here because they are special and you have gifted them. You have gifted them. Thank you for a prophetic team, how you've gifted them prophetically. We thank you for them, Lord. And then, God, we just look to you, and we're your people. We're your called out people. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Well, if you're led, come and have the ladies minister over you and just hang around the back and have some refreshments and look at the new microwave back there that Roseanne bought us. She said the other one was scaring her. Anyway.